Happy Sabbath, everybody, and Happy New Year. It's 2005. Okay, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. I don't know if anybody can. They hear me? Yeah, they can hear me. So I can go off. They can hear me, right? Okay, testing, testing. Okay, yeah, they can hear me. All right. By your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this year that you have given us and all the blessings that were in it. We praise you for all the answered prayers, forgiveness of sins, and the loved ones that have come to Christ. We worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We thank you for giving us a desire deep down in our hearts to please you, regardless of what others may think of us. We pray for those that attack us for the truth that we bear. But when we look back and we look in your scriptures, we see that this is the norm for those that are in the world. So we pray for them, Father, that you bless them with hearts that see before it's too late. We thank you for giving us the scriptures that never change. We thank you for blessing us with Sister White's writings. And we thank you so much for opening our eyes to things that most people can't see. And we pray, Father, that you bless our tongues so that when we do share these truths with others, that we do it not in a hateful spirit. And we do it with a loving desire to see them saved before it's too late. Thank you again for all the blessings that you have given us in this year. And we pray that you keep your hedge of angels about us this year as well. In Jesus' name. Okay. I hope I can see. For some reason my ceiling fan, we have a light in it that allows for me to. I got 300 watt bulbs in it so I can see well. Well, the switch went out, so it went out today, so it's going to be a little difficult for me to read possibly, but I'll muddle through somehow. Let's see. Where we at? We're still in Steps to Christ. Hey, right, wait. Hold on a second here. Oh, there's an echo? Oh, okay. Yeah. Luke, hit that speaker. Okay, it should be gone now. I think there's a large animal running around in our backyard.
Right now?
Yeah. Might just happen to look out the window. I don't know. It could be a coyote. Because the dogs are in the house. I saw something just ran by. Hey, we're in the house. Who cares? Yeah. Or it could have been a fawn. It was about that size. Yeah, so. Anyway, we're still in the Steps to Christ. We're on page 91. I believe. Am I wrong? Did I just move this thing wrong? Does anybody remember where I was last week? Anybody remember where I left off?
The work and the life of the Science Walker 90.
Was 91?
I don't know. Was it? Because I got a bookmark.
Oh, you got... Okay, yes. 91 then. Okay, good. I thought I moved the bookmark because I was distracted by the echo that we were kicking up here. Alrighty. Page 91, Steps to Christ. And for those that are using the CD or whatever, we're in the chapter entitled The Work and the Life. And just scroll down to page 91, I guess, that says starts off with the second paragraph, the only way to grow in Christ is to be disinterestedly doing the very work which Christ has enjoined upon us. To engage to the extent of our ability in helping and blessing those who need the help we can give them. Strength comes by exercise. Activity is the very condition of life. Now that's pretty neat. It's not only do you get strength when you do physical activity, You know, 'cause I'm in the downslope of life. You know, I'm no longer in my 40s, like midlife. I'm going to be hitting 50 at my next birthday. And I've noticed, like when you get older, you get all these aches and pains and stuff like that. But I noticed when I started exercising, not only did my strength get built up, the pain went away, in the, you know, like in the joints and stuff like that. But the same thing happens in the spiritual life. You know, you start getting into the scriptures on a daily basis. And, you know, not just reading it just to read it to get over with it. You know, no, you read it to understand it. If you don't understand it, you keep reading it till you do. And what I like is the Bible that I was blessed with that has the only helps it has in it are comments that Sister White makes about, you know, every other verse or whatever. She doesn't do them all, but what I like to do is I'll read a chapter or two chapters a day, and then I'll read everything Sister White has to say about it in that particular Bible, you know, which sometimes can be pretty extensive. And that it gives you, and you do grow in strength there, in wisdom. It does bless you. I got to admit that. Continuing, it says, those who endeavor to maintain Christian life by passively accepting the blessings that come through the means of grace and doing nothing for Christ are simply trying to live by eating without working. And the other toss of the coin is, once you have the wisdom and the blessings from doing your studies and that, it would be a wise idea to share what you have learned. You can't, I have a hard time keeping it in. You know, it's like I've always said, it's like a fire, well, it's in the scriptures, of course. It's either Joseph or Jeremiah, I get the J's mixed up, that said it's like a fire that burns within. You can't shut up. You got to tell the people what it is that gives you hope. And gives you that peace. Where did I leave off here? Okay, without working. And in the spiritual, as in the natural world, this always results in degeneration and decay. A man who would refuse to exercise his limbs would soon lose all power to use them. And that's the truth. I mean, you sit around for a while, especially when you get up over 30, and you just sit around behind a computer for 8 to 10 hours a day and don't do any exercise. Before you know it, you start getting back pains, knees, your neck from leaning over, you know, to see the keyboard or whatever. You start getting, and then later on in the day, you try to lift up something heavy, forget it, you can't do it, or to walk for any kind of distance, it tears at you. I used to have grinding pains in my hips from walking if I walked more than a quarter mile. Now I can probably run the whole mile. Without a problem, without any pain, except for I get pain in my shins when I run. I don't get it. But that's only because I just started running recently. I usually just do a heavy walk when I do my exercises. I do like a brisk walk, a fast walk. All right, anyway, getting back, it says, thus the Christian who will not exercise his God-given powers not only fails to grow up into Christ, but he loses the strength that he already had. The Church of Christ is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. You know, when you become a Christian, it's not just, oh, goody, I'm saved, I don't get to go to hell and all this stuff. No, you know, you got a job to do. You're an ambassador for Christ. And usually, when someone finds Christ, they want to go out and proclaim it. I mean, we've all seen it, and we've all heard the negative terms. They call you Jesus freak or whatever. You know how it happens, like when someone first gets saved, or first finds Christ as Lord and is saved from eternal damnation, they're bubbly, they're on fire. And if they are, and if the truth has been put into fertile soil, they go forth for, you know, for the rest of their lives at that point. But some people, of course, drop off after a while because people are calling them names and making fun of them and they can't handle it, or certain trials and tribulations come in life and they just can't put their faith in the Lord to take care of them. But we've all seen it. We've all seen the young Christian. It's sad that that bubbly spirit leaves some of us, though. You know, we get complacent. We get to a point where, okay, I'm okay by God, and I can just sit back and relax and live my life and not have to worry about going to hell. But you'd stop using your limbs, the same thing as you stop using sharing the truth with others. It's the same thing. You're going to lose that strength that you already had. Continuing, it says, and the obligation rests upon all Christians, everyone to the extent of his talent and opportunity, is to fulfill the Savior's commission. And this includes shy people. Because I know, I used to be extremely shy. I know it's hard to believe, but I was very, very shy when I was young. And when I first became a Christian, I had a real hard time talking to people. Unless they asked me a question, then you couldn't shut me up. Because the Lord has blessed me with the gift of gab. And, but I was always extremely shy. So what I would do is I would make tracks. I would, you know, do the artwork and do the track with, you know, the research and the preaching and all that stuff on a track. It was usually just one piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, and I would have it folded, you know, in three sections where it was like a little booklet you could read. And my first track was about Noah's Ark. And what I would do is I would just leave it on a counter as I was, you know, like when the cashier, you're in a store or a gas station or whatever, and when the person wasn't looking, when they turned their head, boom, I'd pull that thing out, throw it down real quick and leave. You know, and after a while, I started to get enough guts to hand it to them. But even the shy folks can do that. They can, you know, like I used to do, and I still do it to this day. I got these little business cards now that have a few scriptures on them, and then it has the address to the website. I'll stick them in coat pockets of, like, in stores or books in libraries or in stores or inside a pot or a pan that someone's going to buy or in a store, so that when they purchase the product, they go home and they find a track or they find a card, you know. So do it with the talent that you have. You know, just do it with, you know, what you can do. Continuing, so the love of Christ revealed to us makes us debtors to all who know him not. God has given us light, not for ourselves alone, but to be but to shed upon them. You know, you can't put a candle underneath the bushel. Waste of time. If the followers of Christ were awake to duty, then there would be thousands where there is one today, proclaiming the gospel in heathen lands. And all who could not personally engage in the work would yet sustain it with their means, their sympathy, and their prayers. You know, because people are called to go out there and preach, and then you got to live of the gospel. In other words, you got to quit your 9-to-5 job. Some of us do that. I did it 2 years ago. I mean, I've had a ministry for, it'll be 20 years this March, but just 2 years ago in May, it'll be 2 years this May, the Lord blessed me with the answer to prayer to go full-time. And that's how others can, you know, and there's other guys, other people that do it as well, that are full-time, and so they need help to be able to continue on doing the work. Continuing, she says, and there would be far more earnest labor for souls in the Christian countries. We need not go to heathen lands or even leave the narrow circle of the home if it is there that our duty lies in order to work for Christ. We can do this in the home circle, in the church, among those with whom we associate and with whom we do business. The greater part of our Savior's life on earth was spent in patient toil in the carpenter's shop at Nazareth. Ministering angels attend the Lord of life as he walked. Well, let me read this again. The greater part of our Savior's life on earth was spent in patient toil in the carpenter's shop at Nazareth. Okay. Ministering angels attended the Lord of life as he walked side by side with peasants and laborers, unrecognized and unhonored.
Who does
that?
What? A lot of ministers are always ministering to be known.
Yeah. Recognition. Yeah, everybody's always preaching recognition now. And look at the way, well, the TV has a lot to do with it too. People got on the TV and then they just got over-glorified in self. And that's one of the biggest dangers is, you know, with that TV that I see. When you look at TBN, they're just drenched in the skin of Baal.
Well,
the gold and all that.
Walk side by side with
Yeah.
Unrecognized and unhonored.
Well, he was a child at that time. He was a child at that time.
Yeah, but, you know, still. And, well, nowadays, look at the guys on TV, though, now.
Yeah, I know.
They got cameras showing what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so they could be honored.
Yeah, Jesus could walk around unhonored when he was a child or even when he was a young adult. And today, some of these preachers won't go anywhere without an entourage and a bunch of cameras pointing at them. Look at me, you know. Or when they go and they, this is another thing, how they seek self-glory. You got to be careful of this as well. You always see this stuff like especially on TVN, they'll go into these other nations and they'll pass out Barbie dolls and little fire trucks to the kids. But before they do that, yeah, they're starving for food and they're giving them Barbie dolls and fire trucks. But before they do it, they make sure there's enough cameras watching them do it. You know? And the reason they do it is not for self-glory, is because if they show people that they're doing something nice, more donations will come in. You know, in other words, they're trusting men. It says, you know, let the Lord see your work. The Lord knows what you're doing, and if the Lord is pleased with your work, the donations will come. You don't have to ask. That's the thing, you know, you ask, it's like, you know, you're putting faith in man then. Continuing, it says, he was faithfully fulfilling his mission while working on, at his humble trade, as when he healed the sick or walked upon the storm-tossed waves of Galilee. So in the humblest duties and lowliest positions of life, we may walk and work with Jesus. The apostle says, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Wherever you're at, whatever position in life. You know, are you a police officer? Are you working in a factory? Are you working in a hospital? Whatever, you know. Work there with the Lord, you know. And treat your employer, of course, as if he were God. And I'm not saying obey him blindly, like as if he was God. But in other words, the job he gives you to do, do it with peacefulness and happiness, without complaining, you know, because the Lord has put you in that position in the first place. So work with it as the best you can to show a good Christ-like spirit so that you can evangelize without even saying a word, because we are watched. And some people, we are the only Bibles they read for some people, which is sad. Continuing, it says, the businessman may conduct his business in a way that will glorify his master because of his fidelity. If he is a true follower of Christ, he will carry his religion into everything that is done and reveal to men the spirit of Christ. The mechanic may be a diligent and faithful representative of him who toiled in the lowly walks of life among the hills of Galilee if he overcharges them big time for the brakes he's installing in their car. No, it doesn't say that. You know, you can't find them, and I have run across them, but there are mechanics out there that are Christians that will charge you an honest wage to work on your car. And transmission places as well. Or air conditioner, or heating and air guys, or carpenters, I mean, whatever. Treat them as you would want them to treat you. You know, show Christ. Don't overcharge because you can, because everybody else does. Do, you know, charge what you think is fair. Continuing, everyone who names the name of Christ should so work that others, by seeing his good works, may be led to glorify their Creator and Redeemer. Many have excused themselves from rendering their gifts to the service of Christ because others were possessed of superior endowments and advantages. You hear that? Many have excused themselves from rendering their gifts to the service of God because others were possessed of superior endowments and advantages. Oh, I'm not going to even bother working for Christ because all I got is a voice I can't go forward with. You know, I don't have a fancy car or a television studio or whatever. I've run across people that say that they're not blessed because they don't have a fancy car or a house, or not even just a brand new car or a house. They got a beater. This is, that car gets you from point A to point B? Well, yeah. So what if it's a rust bucket? It's getting air. You don't have to have all that flash in the pan. And some people will choose not to work because on the other toss of the coin is, of course, they feel they're going to be like a starting artist. Look, our Heavenly Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. When people get to realize that, you'll get what you need. Not what you want, you'll get what you need. You know? That's the neat thing about the Lord. He will give you what you need. What you got to do is you got to come to a realization that you don't really need that. You know, sometimes, because some people, you know, they get a little overboard on their wants. Continuing, it says, the opinion has prevailed that only those who are especially talented are required to consecrate their abilities to the service of God. Okay, well, then let's cut off our feet. Can you walk around? How about cutting off your nose to spite your face? Or cutting off just your pinky finger. I don't think I need it anymore. Or how about your pinky toe? It's difficult to stand without a pinky toe sometimes. It has to do with your balance. You know, again, so I'll read. The opinion has prevailed that only those who are especially talented, you know, not everybody can be the head. Not everybody can be the eyeballs. Not everybody can be the mouth. You need arms. You need feet. You need legs. There's a good reason that the Lord described the church as the body of the church. Can the eye say to the foot, I don't need you? How's the eye going to get from place to place? How's the mouth going to get from place to place without the foot? Continuing. It has come to be understood by many that talents are given to only a certain favored class, to the exclusion of others, who, of course, are not called upon to share in the toils of or the rewards. But it is not so represented in the parable. When the master of the house called his servants, he gave to every man his work. With a loving spirit, we may perform life's humblest duties as to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, of course. If the love of God is in the heart, it will manifest in the life. The sweet savor of, you see this, that reminds me, remember years ago, Fran, when I got that job doing building maintenance over at Scenic Tree? And I had carpentry, electrical, and plumbing experience. I knew it all. And I probably knew a little bit more than the boss did, except for I didn't know heating and air. I didn't know any of that HVAC stuff, you know. The guy, I wanted to go right into doing all the good jobs and stuff. And he told me, he says, no, we need somebody to clean out these toilets. Because people had their water turned off in these apartments, and they were evicted. But before they were evicted, and they lived in their apartment for a week or two, and they used their toilets and were unable to flush. And so someone had to clean them. And I quit. I says, no, man, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. I'm not cleaning toilets. I should be up there on the roof with you doing all that work. Because he was on the roof when I was talking to him, and I was on the ground. And my pride got to me. I quit, and I walked off, and I couldn't find a job for about 2-3 months after that. I should have stayed there and done that job. And then later on, I did end up getting a better job years later. And then one day I did have to do that. I did have to clean a toilet out like that. And boy, that was, it's not easy to do, but if you don't do it, somebody else is going to have to do it. You know? And they might not know the proper method of doing it and get hurt. You know, you got to have a mask on. You got to have the gloves on. You know. But anyway, get off that topic. But the thing is, some people don't feel, you know, oh, I'm above that job. Oh, I'm not sleeping on the floor. Well, if you don't, somebody else is going to have to do it, so why not you? I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Like but Luke, stuck with that job that he got at Lifetime Doors for as long as he could.
Yeah.
So it was low paying.
Yeah.
The Lord blessed him with a job.
Exactly.
3 times, 4 times.
Yeah. The Lord tests you. He watches his child to see, will you do the work no matter what? And if and all of a sudden you're blessed. We just saw evidence of this with, like you were just saying, with Luke. He got this real crummy job, but stuck with it. And before you knew it, boom, now he's got this real nice job. Praise the Lord for that. Continuing, the sweet savor of Christ will surround us, and our influence will elevate and bless. You are not to wait for great occasions or to expect extraordinary abilities before you go to work for God. You're going to be humbled. Those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. And, of course, those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Continuing, it says, you need not have a thought of what the world will think of you. If your daily life is a testimony to the purity and sincerity of your faith, and others are convinced that you desire to benefit them, your efforts will not be wholly lost. The Lord can use you. If the Lord can use you, he will use you. If he sees somebody that's rebelling against what he's given them, the Lord's going to have to back off and just let you sit where you're at until the lesson is learned. So that's the hardest thing that I had to learn. Because I went through it for years. I remember when we were living in a 1,011-day house. To this day, that's what we call it. It was a two-bedroom kitchenette that we lived in for 1,011 days because no one would rent to us because, you know, 10 people. You know, 8 children and a husband and wife, they didn't want to rent to us. Even though they had 4 or 5 bedrooms in the house, that's just, you know, that doesn't make sense. But so we lived there, and the whole time I kept saying, oh, you know, I know the Lord is allowing me to go through this, but I don't have to like it. He says, yes, you do. Count it all joy, pal. You're learning something here. I look back now, and I praise the Lord for that time. Even though it was difficult, there were times I had to go into the bathroom when I saw the attacks on my children and those around us, and I would literally cram my face in a towel and bawl my eyes out because I don't want my kids to hear me cry because of what was going on. And I would go and I would do it all over again because the lessons learned there were such a blessing. They were hard because we kept dragging our feet, kicking and screaming all the way. Now I don't think we are above this. We don't have to look. I'm street preaching. I'm on a pulpit every Sunday. You know, we were Sunday keepers back then. You know, and I was preaching at that one church for a while. That's where I started preaching. And I kept thinking, you know, this isn't right. I didn't realize that. Look, the Lord's testing to see if I will do the cruddy jobs. And then when you finally get to that realization, whatever the Lord puts you, work without mumbling like they did in the desert, because we're in our desert now, like they were in, in Exodus, of course, in the desert for the 40 years. They realized after 40 years, of course, that, look, the Lord did take care of them. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had enough food and water and everything they needed, and even firewood to cook the meals. This is in a desert, people. Remember, I shared this a couple of months ago about that one general from the army that showed what it would take to feed that many people on a daily basis and the amount of water. It was what, a train with enough tankers on the train to give that many people water for just drinking, cooking food, and hand washing was something like 2 miles long of the train. Just for the water. Daily. Okay? That's daily. In a desert. So, wherever you're at, you know, it doesn't matter. The Lord, and when he sees his child reacting well, he gives him better work, you know. It's just like the parable with the talents. You were faithful with a few, here's more. But if you go and bury it, you know. Okay, continuing and finishing up, because this here is the end of this chapter. I don't want to jump into a new chapter today. So I'm going to mark this page. And sticky is getting old on this little sticky. Okay, finishing up. It says, the humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. You know, I remember one time, we were at that one church that's on TV now, when we were members of, I'm not going to mention the name, and this is what caused one of my brothers to have a problem with his Christian walk, because the pastor said, look, if you don't have money, you cannot be a blessing to others. His sermon was about prosperity, like they all do, you know, the TV preacher kind of guys.
The owner, Jessica,
there,
Rob?
Rob said it, yeah. That Rob Thompson guy?
Yeah.
He said that. He says, if you don't have money, you can't be a blessing to others. If you don't have... His sermon was about, look, if you're a Christian, the Lord will prosper you. And this is true, yeah. But he's egging on it. He's talking. That's all the sermons ever were about. There's always a different approach to bringing into prosperity. And he would always bring up the idea, says, look, if you're a Christian, the Lord's going to prosper you, and then you can be a blessing to others with that money. Look, if you don't have the money, you can't be a blessing. In other words, he threw it right in there along stream. And that's when I was taken aback a little bit. I says, look, I can see Paul walking into, or was it Peter? I get the P's mixed up like I get the J's mixed up. Walking into to the one city where that one cripple is by the gate. And the guy's asking alms. And he goes, I don't have gold, I don't have silver. What I do have, I'll give unto you. Stand up. And he heals him. You know, we could be a blessing to others.
What turned me off at the church was he stood up there. He stood tall, had his chest out, and said, this is my church. I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
Just the way he said it.
That's what...
Oh, wow. And that was it.
That's kind of like... Yeah, that was kind of like Nebuchadnezzar standing on the roof and looking around. But and he's not the only one. The only reason I mentioned his name is because I said Rob, and I wanted to think it was Rob Sessler. Rob Sessler wouldn't do that. So
I just don't want anybody to think that's who I was talking about. But this is on, all the churches do this. And this is why my little brother walked up to me one day and says, you know, I'm not blessed by the Lord at all. I don't have a job. I don't have two nickels rubbed together. I don't have, says, what are you talking about? You're not blessed. You're not going to die. You have eternal life. You're healthy. Your heart's beating. Your eyes are good. I mean, you can walk fine. I mean, you're not crippled. I mean, and even if you were crippled, you're still alive. You're blessed. Doesn't matter if you're crippled or not. It's a lot in life. It's a lesson learned. You know, because especially when you get older, there's things that happen to people that, you know, it's certain lessons. It's just like because some people think, oh, it's because of sin. Really? Then what about the one blind guy that Jesus healed? And the apostles even asked him, he says, okay, what sin did he commit or what sin did his parents commit that he was born blind? And Jesus says, no, he was born blind so the Father could be glorified today when he healed him. It's just like the guy that's laying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. He was there years before Christ was even born. And what sin did he do? So it's not always sin that causes people to be in, you know, in unhealthy positions. It's for the glory of God. And what I'd like to see a little bit more of, especially in these last days, is people laying hands on other people and seeing them healed. We've seen it plenty of times here, but it'd be so much nicer to see it. You know, there's got to be somebody out there with that faith, you know. And I'm not talking about that fake stuff that you see Benny Hinn doing. If Jesus walked in, every single person would be healed, not just the ones that can tell a good story in front of the camera and then later on and find out that they're not really healed in the first place. That's all fake. It's all money-making. This was prophesied to occur. Okay, finishing up, it says, they may not realize that they are doing any special good. Wait, let me fix it, go back and start over again. This is kind of messing it up when I don't do the first sentence. It says, the humblest and the poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. They may not realize that they are doing any special good, but by their unconscious influence, they may start waves of blessing that will widen and deepen, and the blessed results that they never know until the day of final, the blessed results they may never know until the day of final reward. They do not feel or know what they are doing, that they are doing anything great. And that's a good state of mind. You know, sure, it's great to glorify the Lord, but don't think on yourself. You start getting that high and mighty. Because I remember when I learned a real rough lesson when I first came to Christ, or when I walked out of the Roman Catholic Church 20 years ago, March. And I started having all these beautiful events in life. It's just neat things were happening. It's just miracles and all this stuff. And I started getting conceited. I started getting, you know, high and mighty in my mind. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, in about 6 months I'll be walking on water, you know. And what happened? Take heed lest ye fall. I backslid. I was back in the bar shooting stick and my hair was growing out. I had the muscle shirts on again for about 18 months. And then I kept hearing Luke 9:62 over and over again. Those who put their hands to the plow but keep looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God. It eventually brought me back. And I got on my knees that day about 18 months later, and I gave my life, rededicated my life, and never looked back because of, maybe it was a little longer than 18 months. It could have been like 2 years. But it was a lesson learned. I realized how weak the flesh is. And now I refuse to look at anything. It's all Christ. Whatever happens, he's the one doing it. Because he really is the one doing it, you know? It's common sense. All right, finishing up. I know I've said that 3 times already, but finishing it says, they are not required to weary themselves with anxiety about success. In other words, you're not doing this for a career. You're doing this for the Lord. There's so many people out there that are in ministry for a career. They have only to go forward quietly, doing faithfully the work that God's providence assigns, and their life will not be in vain. Their own souls will be growing more and more into the likeness of Christ. They are workers together with God in this life and are thus fitting for the higher work and the unshadowed joy of the life to come. Amen. I'm going to get a drink of water. We'll be back in a few minutes to sing.